Welcome to the KNEL Radio Podcast, your podcast for news, sports, music, and talk radio. KNEL Radio Podcast is your resource to local news and sports from the heart of Texas and the Texas Hill Country. Join us weekly for Hillbilly Hits radio show highlighting traditional country music and artists. And At Home with Debbie Rule, a talk show about home, family, and relationships. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference in your life today.
6 o'clock with a pretty good crowd for unusually large group of folks. Normal start with the invocation and pledge of allegiance. A couple of people for public comments, and they waited until the agenda item to talk about it. We had on the consent agenda, that's where we group some things that we believe are, you know, kind of standard and it saves a little bit of time. So the minutes and from the previous meeting, and then action regarding a resolution 2022-14 to request street closures for the July parade on July 2nd. And the last one was discussion, consideration, and possible action about temporary closure of the 200 block of North Church Street, as requested by the McCullough County Chamber of Commerce for the Heart of Texas Community Foundation for their second annual farm-to-table dinner that will be held on June the 25th from 2 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. That certainly promises to be a warm event at that time of the day. But second annual to recognize the event. We had a presentation for a proclamation for Fair Housing Month. Pretty standard. Just recognizes that we we'll do fair housing, won't discriminate, and that we want to acknowledge that for the month. And then the presentation on the Lure Edition East over on the southeast part of town, starting at 2nd Street and going out to 11th Street for replacement of small diameter water main replacement. As part of that, and then we looked at that in some of our block grants that we'll talk about here in a second as we go to the individual concerns. There were 2, 4, 6, 7 individual events that we looked at, the first one being discussion, consideration, and possible action to approve a resolution 2022-12 to designate the signing authority for the Texas Community Development Block Grant that we had applied for. And then the second was a resolution 2022-13, which regarded the discussion, consideration, and possible action to approve that resolution for adoption of the federal procedures and obligations associated with that. All standard stuff when you get a grant from folks, but our council likes to be part of all that. So both those were approved 4-0. We only had 4 council members. There, Jay May is at the PGA golf tournament.
Oh, gee. Whiz.
So you can't pass up a chance to
do that.
To do that. So
let me ask again. I asked you on Tuesday when you were here, but I just wanted to repeat it again. The money, the block grant, is being used to support the drinking water program. Is that right?
It is. It is for the upgrade of the small water pipes that historically were there to expand to up to as much as 6 inches, so very significant.
There's some areas, if I recall, and discussions in the past have, something on the order of 1-inch water lines go into their houses, and that is not doesn't give you much pressure.
And it, just for being a numbers kind of guy, when you increase the diameter of a pipe from 1 inch to 6 inch, it's not six times as capable. You do it based on the area that's inside the pipe. So it deals with a 6 inch pipe has 3 inch radius. So you square that 3 inch and multiply it times pi and compared to just pi. So it comes out nine times in that case, more volume associated with the also increased pressure that will come as we get to the end of the calendar year and bring everything from our new water system originally developed for the reduction of radium, but there's a lot of side benefits, including the distribution of the water that's there and the removal of the iron that's there. But you know, just for numbers on that block grant, this particular one, and we've done a number of these. We did some over on the north side of town, and then on the west side of town, and kind of a mirror image a little bit of this. So we've got all those grants in the works, and this is the application for all of those things, not being actually handed the money yet. But the amount was $350,000to replace those lines. And the city's share of that was $52,500 that the city has to do a 15% matching funds to get that grant. So it was... signing authority was approved, and then as one of the members of the signing authority yesterday, with all the final paperwork done, I signed those documents, number of attachments associated with it. The third item, which was actually the first thing that we covered just because of the visitors that we had there, was discussion, consideration, and possible action to approve the hotel occupancy tax funding application from the Locker Sports Bar and Grill for the crawfish and drag boat throwdown on the 4th of June that your guest this morning talked about already. The city had budgeted $22,000 in those block grants and had already had applications and approved $21,000, so there was only $1,000 left in the pot. The Locker Sports Bar had asked for $10,000, and there was only $10,000 available, and that was approved 4-0.
$1,000. You said $1,000 is all you had left in the hotel occupancy tax fund.
$1,000. Yeah. And again, the significance of that is the hotel occupancy tax process that we go through to distribute those funds is commonly referred to heads in beds to get people to come to the city with different attractions that are like the music festival and things like that. And the funds come from the tax that the people in the hotels and motels pay for. That's not tax money or revenue from our utilities.
It's a separate tax collected by the hotels and motels.
Yes.
And then reused to try to attract more people.
Yep.
Okay.
The fourth item was update and discussion of the architectural plans for the remodeled police department. The old cafeteria there on 11th Street, the engineer went through and laid out what that was all going to look like with his different diagrams, and the presentation that occurred earlier was part of that, and this just allowed us to talk about it some more. If we wanted to, no action was taken as part of that, and a number of questions about different things. Somebody from the audience, I think, asked about the potential for having to deal with chemicals and materials that are associated in the old building, and the assurance was that those were not present and they didn't have to worry about it for the building. Hopefully we won't find out when they get to removing tile and things like that.
So you don't have any problems.
That commonly, you get something in the glue that holds the tile on the floor. It's not the tile itself. And if you don't disturb it too much, then you don't have to do anything about it.
Is there a time frame for this project, this part of it?
You know, that the short answer is no, that not that I know of, that, okay, that's set up there. But this is one of those things. The new police station, renovated police station, moving the fire department out of that old City Hall building down on Commerce Street, just off the square. All those things are really needed to provide a more adequate facility for both of those critical services. And our push to get that done is coming to fruition with actual plans that are accepted and a plan for where we get the money. And that plan is the potential sale, okay, of land out at around the lake,
okay,
that the city owns. So we looked at that, and like I said, no action taken on that item. Status and update regarding the ongoing code issues with 901 Palm Bay. Lots of folks know where that is, just kind of on the diagonal corner from Lowe's Grocery, and really bad situation there. That we've been dealing with for a long time. When you meet all the timelines and all of the requirements before you demolish some structure, if the person who owns the building knows the rules really well, they can really stretch the process out, and they have. But the council approved 4-0. To demolish that structure. Not sure exactly when that will happen, but it's pretty high priority and a lot of interest from the neighbors in that area to get rid of it. You can see just driving by on China Street, looking to your right before you get to 11th Street, the condition of the building. And in fact, the building had no utilities to it for some time. So you can imagine what the condition was like. But when you go through all the code hoops, it takes some time, and we have completed that. Good work done by our new code enforcement officer to get that done. Next item, a status update on the, I'm sorry, next item was discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the first reading of Ordinance 1339 of the City of Brady to deny and disapprove the proposed rate schedules and service regulations filed with the City of Brady by Encore Electric Delivery Company, LLC, as requested by Encore. This is a fascinating process that has to take place periodically. The electric company has to propose certain rates about in a particular area. Each time that Encore and their predecessors that were here providing electricity in addition to the city would make that proposal and then ask the city to recommend disapproval of that proposal so that the state can set the rate rather than Encore setting the rate and having to worry about all the interaction and concern about why is my rate this and Mason's rate something else.
Well, I think
that sort of thing.
As I understood it, it enables a situation in which Encore can have a uniform rate with and not have however many rates there are, depending on how many little communities there are.
You said that so much better than I did, but that's exactly the point. You can imagine the bookkeeping challenges that are there in the explanations and discussions when you have
horrendous
different rates for different communities that are there. So the laws require them to submit that rate and then require us to provide an input of approval or disapproval, and then
the state takes over.
They get to that uniform rate. Yeah.
So they're not, and the other part of that is they're not doing that with just us. They're doing it with every one of their communities they serve.
And I don't know if they do the whole state at once or they do sections over different years. I'm not that familiar with the process, but I know relatively frequently we have to, I don't think it's annually, but it almost seems to be as often as we do it. Last item on the agenda was discussion to address citizens' concerns about animal control issues. Largest part of our audience for the council meeting was concerned about this, particularly the folks from the Irish colony that is there close to the 87 Bridge and Live Oak Creek, where it comes into the Brady Creek. Not to get too specific, but there's some big issues about concerns in that particular area by that group, but there are also a number of concerns, including folks that are on the city council, about stray dogs and the potential threat of dog bites in those dogs, particularly with big dogs that are wandering in the neighborhood. We have been concerned about that for some time and tried to work that. And needless to say, as you go through that situation, the animal control staff goes there and deals with each situation individually. They can do a verbal warning, a written warning. They can write tickets based on the situation and abiding by the state laws as well as our ordinances. State laws don't get into a lot of detail about animal control except when you talk about the animal control facility having to have a quarantine place for animals, and that's focused on rabies. If a dog bites somebody, then for a fairly extended period of time, 6 or 10 weeks, and in some cases a little bit shorter period of time, an animal may be put in that quarantine area away from all the other animals that are out there to observe it and to see if the animal might be rabid. The alternative solution to finding out whether or not there's a rabies problem there is you have to put the animal down and then do lab tests on the brain of the animal. So rather than potentially have to put down a lot of animals that don't have that problem, you have a quarantine facility. And so that was a little bit of our discussion too in from the council about our animal control facility and what we're going to continue to pursue to do that. The three really big things that the city was looking at that the city has control of course, where the police station, the new fire station, and animal control facility that reasonably significant funds are involved in all of those things. So there was some discussion about the record keeping and comments from the audience about dissatisfaction that they had called and animal control was not responsive enough or not doing enough things. So one of the council members had done a pretty extensive review, and what we saw was a lot of warnings. And in fact, when you look at the telephone logs, a lot of verbal warnings, obviously. Mm-hmm. So consideration that we, that the city is considering changing our policy that says if animal control responds, they have to give a written response in that situation. Some of the folks were complaining that they made the phone call and they either didn't get a response or the response that they got was not satisfactory in their mind. So we work on the policy issues of that also to make sure. And what was conveyed to the folks that were there, number one, as the discussion concluded, my comment was, we're going to do something about it. We're not just sitting here listening and nodding our heads. We're going to do something about this. A commitment on my part to pay special attention to that. But the recommendation from the council members to the people that were there in the audience and to the radio audience, if you've got a dog problem, an animal control problem, call the city. If it warrants, call 911 and ask them to send animal control folks out there to deal with the situation. And if you make the call and don't see any response, make another call. Those calls are logged in. That helps us document how many calls that are there. So while it may be a little bit of a hassle for you, don't just call once and then complain on Facebook. That's not going to really get much done for you. If you keep calling and keep insisting on getting some help, that gives us the documentation to look at so that we can place the emphasis there to it. The natural response to that is, why don't you fix it the first time? And the answer is there's a lot going on, and the documentation helps us a lot to get those issues handled by the city. So we then quickly moved on to staff reports without very many comments that were there. Our upcoming events that we listed were the early release from school on the 26th of May, of course Memorial Day on the 30th, which changes the trash schedule. So watch that and make your adjustment there. That's one that if you put your trash out on the wrong day, they're going to come pick it up the next day. On the Tuesday, Wednesday pickups for a Monday holiday. That's their regular council meeting on the 7th of June and the 21st of June. City's going to have a pool party that we have annually at the swimming pool on the 16th. We took about a 15-minute break at 7:45 in the evening, so we'd been there an hour and 45 at that point. Got a bite to eat and just took that 15-minute break. Went back into executive session, and to save you all the numbers associated with that, The two items on the agenda were consultation with the attorney and personnel issues. The personnel issue was focused on Erin Corbell. She is the acting city manager, and we had set a deadline for the 1st of June to either make her the city manager or start the process for recruiting a city manager. With one member gone, the suggestion was let's push that back to the next council meeting on the 7th so everybody can make comments as we make that decision on the city manager. The consultation with the attorney resulted in discussions with the attorney over a litigation issue that we have that is protected information. And so when we came back at 8:25, came back into open session. We closed at 8:25 on the executive session, came into open session, checked to see if there were any folks that hung around to see if we had action on the executive session. There were not. So we immediately announced that no action was taken based on the executive sessions and adjourned the meeting at 8:26.
Very good.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio Podcast, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.